today, I'll be reading Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who is for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Certainly good to see everyone. Thank you for being here this morning. It's good to be back, and I want to thank the elders for allowing us to be away for a few days, a chance to visit with my mom. But thank you very much, and again, thank all those who filled in for me, and I appreciate we have so many capable people to fill in, and that just really means a lot. But it's good to see you, and thank you for blessing us with your presence here this morning. May have shared this story, but it's one that always reminds me of the text that Ryan read this morning. But on May 6, 1954, Roger Bannister became the first man in history to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Within 2 months, John Landy broke that record by 1.4 seconds. And on August the 7th, 1954, the two met together for a historic race. And as they moved in the last lap, Landy held the lead. And it looked as if he would win, but as he neared the finish, he was haunted by the question, "Where is Bannister?" And as he turned to look, Bannister took the lead. And Landy later told a Time magazine reporter, "If I hadn't looked back, I believe that I would have run the race." The Christian race, or the Christian life, is at times compared to an athlete competing in a race. And Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." And so as Christians, we must forget those things that are behind and reach forward to the things ahead. And Paul makes it clear that we cannot make spiritual progress by looking back. We must run the race that is set before us. And so I want us to reflect for a few moments on some elements involved in running the Christian race. First of all, the crowd. In sporting events, the crowd plays a major role in the level of enthusiasm and encouragement. And I'm sure there are many people here this morning who can testify to that fact. At Hebrews 12, verse 1, the first verse that Ryan read, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And so while running the Christian race, we are blessed with a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. The writer, and this is not always, you know, for sure among Bible scholars, but the writer may well be referring to that list of faithful followers of God that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, who have already finished the race and now, by example, cheer on the runners. Encouraging and exhorting one another is a vital as we run the Christian race. Romans 14, verse 19. "So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another." Hebrews 3, 13. "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And then chapter 10, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So we are called upon to encourage, to build up one another. And so that is very, very important as we run the Christian race. Number two, the coach. While running the Christian race, we must keep our eyes focused and fixed on Jesus. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Isn't that an amazing line? Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And the only thing that I can figure from that is the joy was knowing that what that sacrifice was going to mean for humankind. But who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He is the coach of our Christian race. He is our example. He is our guide. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for you have been called for the purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you to follow in his steps. I know there are things going on all around us and sometimes within us that could cause us to fail. But if we can concentrate on the uplifted Savior, we can win this Christian race. I'm convinced that one of the most effective tools of Satan is distraction. Trying to get us to focus on other things and not the Lord. And I love the chorus which encourages us to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's try to sing that chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So looking, focusing on him, I think, can help us so very, very much. The third word is cooperation. The Christian race is not so much a competitive race, but it is a cooperative one. Christians are running alongside each other. Verse 1 again, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Did you catch the phrase? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So when a Christian falls, this is what Paul told us to do, Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. We're in this together. Let us with endurance run this race. And then there is the course. The path we travel makes all the difference in our destination. You may recall that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount spoke of the broad and the narrow way. This is Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus presents four sets of twos here. Two gates. One is wide. It is easy to find. The other is narrow. It may be a little more difficult to find. Two roads. One is wide. We might call it Broadway. Do whatever your heart desires. The other is narrow. It takes discipline to travel on this road. Two groups. One is large. The other group, Jesus says, has just a few. Two destinations. One leads to destruction, the other to life. What is Jesus talking about? I believe that it is a call to discipline. To get what we want out of the Christian life, there are no shortcuts. Jesus calls for our total attention. Paul told Timothy that he had finished his course. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So Paul tells us that he had fought the good fight. He tells us that he has now finished the course, and he had held closely to the faith. And because of those things, he was assured that God had prepared for him a crown, which not only for Paul, but for all of us who are faithful and who are looking forward to his appearing. So we have a path to follow. We have a course to run. And then there's the crown. The reward for finishing the Christian race is not a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible one. 1 Corinthians 9, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. I don't know, because I know things have changed. I haven't been back to Harding in so long, but that used to be on the roads house there, the gymnasium at Harding. That verse, he who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. And Donna said that was one verse that she memorized, because that's where she always saw me, was in the gym and not in study hall. Do that verse, he who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. So I don't know if it's still there. I know things have changed since I was there. But Paul is reminding us again of running in the race and exercising self-control. But they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. And Jesus in Revelation 2 and verse 10 called it the crown of life. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you'll be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let's do what Paul tells us in Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that others, I myself, will not be disqualified. Paul is encouraging us to do three things in this passage. Number one, run to finish. Run in such a way that you may win. Number two, run with discipline. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things, Paul said. And then we need to run with purpose. I run, Paul said, but not without aim. I have a goal in mind. And that's what he shared with us there in that Philippians chapter 3 passage. I press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That, I think, is the important thing that I wanted to emphasize here this morning. To stay focused on Him and do not allow any of the distractions of this world to take our concentration and our focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you begun the race? If anyone here needs to begin this morning by expressing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of his or her sins, and then being buried with Jesus in the waters of baptism, we invite you to come and make that important decision today. If anyone here desires the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. So if we can help you in any way, would you let us know how as we stand together and sing our song?